This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07 at WCHL, 72 degrees in Chapel Hill, 71 in Carborough, also 71 this morning in Hillsboro. Partly sunny, another muggy day. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Some fog this morning, high today, 86. The protest movement against the Republican-led North Carolina legislature continued on Labor Day by focusing on what its critics call anti-worker legislation. Representatives of the state AFL-CIO and Farm Labor Organizing Committee joined the Reverend William Barber with the NAACP at a Monday news conference on Hillsborough Street in Raleigh. They say state lawmakers hurt workers by passing bills this year that will prevent hundreds of thousands of people in North Carolina from getting either emergency federal unemployment benefits or the state's earned income tax credit. The protests will continue today when civil rights and union leaders plan to give report cards to all 170 legislators as lawmakers return for a veto override session today. More than 900 people have been arrested, of course, inside the legislative building over 3 months in civil disobedience during Moral Monday protest. Many of those arrested from right here in Orange County. Carborough Alderman will discuss the impact of new legislation from the General Assembly when the board meets tonight. Under the new rules, the town cannot prohibit gun owners from carrying concealed weapons in playgrounds. And the town's authority to regulate weapons at athletic facilities will also be limited. House Bill 71 will limit the restrictions the town can place on contractors hired for public projects, meaning the town cannot require contractors to refrain from employment discrimination or pay a minimum wage. The board will hear a report from the town attorney regarding the full impact of this new state legislation. In addition, the alderman will consider partnering with Piedmont Electric to test LED streetlights at Anderson Park. Officials say the project has the potential to cut energy costs in half while also reducing the need for maintenance. The board will also consider co-sponsoring the North Carolina Bike Summit scheduled for mid-October at the newly opened Hampton Inn in downtown Carborough. More on the Hampton Inn coming up in just a few minutes. The board will meet tonight at 7:30 in Carborough Town Hall. Over the weekend, President Barack Obama sought congressional approval before taking military action in response to Syria's apparent use of chemical weapons, putting the likelihood of U.S. military intervention in the balance. As a result, UNC has commissioned a roundtable discussion of the increasing tensions surrounding the conflict. WCHL's Rachel Nash spoke with panel member UNC Professor Mark Weisbord, specialist in international law, to hear his perspective on this global issue.
Weisbord teaches civil procedure, international law, and a course on international human rights for the UNC School of Law. The roundtable discussion being held in the FedEx Global Education Center Tuesday from 5 to 6:30 features panel members from the UNC scholarly community in addition to national security fellows from the UNC Triangle Institute for Security Studies.
I believe it's the obligation of every citizen to take an interest in important public questions, and surely using force in international relations is an important public question.
Weisbord said his talk will focus on the international legal aspects of a U.S. intervention in Syria. Specifically, he will consider the body of law that regulates how independent countries deal with one another and how a U.S. intervention would challenge the Charter of the United Nations.
The UN Charter unequivocally forbids it. Under the Charter, the only circumstance in which one country can use force against a second country without the permission of the Security Council of the UN, which of course is not available here, would be in self-defense.
Weisbord said that using force to prevent war crimes or to punish a country for war crimes is not contemplated by the UN Charter. He added that in situations such as this, it is often a case of conflicting rationales of the responsibility to intervene versus adhering to the Charter.
When the NATO countries bombed Serbia in the connection with the Kosovo crisis, there were a good many international lawyers who found themselves very puzzled by what to say. On the one hand, they believed it was the right thing to do. On the other hand, they couldn't very well ignore the Charter. So you had a number of international lawyers insisting that bombing Kosovo was A, illegal, and B, legitimate.
When Russia engaged in a war with Georgia in 2008, Weisbord explains that Russia gave the justification of humanitarian intervention in order to protect the population in secessionist regions of Georgia.
One can doubt the good faith of that assertion. The reason I mention it is that, of course, if one country can say we're intervening in order to act in a humanitarian way, so can another country.
Weisbord cited the UN-supported doctrine of the Responsibility to Protect, or RTP, which provides for the international community to intervene when a government is not protecting its own citizens. He said it is not an idea with which he agrees, nor is it an international legal obligation, but the Responsibility to Protect initiative continues to circulate among international lawyers and is considered by some to apply to the crisis in Syria.
The basic idea of the Responsibility to Protect is that if push comes to shove and there are dangers of serious humanitarian crises in a particular country, and that country's government is either unwilling or unable to deal with it, outside governments have the responsibility to take action.
For more information on Weisbord and UNC's roundtable discussion on the intervention in Syria, you can read this article on our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The Central West Steering Committee meets at the Chapel Hill Public Library tonight. Central West is a portion of land in Chapel Hill laid out during the Chapel Hill 2020 process. It surrounds Estes Drive near Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Meetings have been ongoing all summer. Public comment will be accepted at the beginning and the end of the meeting for about 10 minutes each time. Tonight's meeting gets underway at 6 o'clock and will last till about 9 o'clock. Carborough's first hotel, the Hampton Inn and Suites, is up and running following the opening of its doors last Wednesday. General Manager Kevin Rooney says the hotel was half-booked over the Labor Day weekend, and in less than a week of operation, the hotel is already booked for UNC Parents Weekend in September and Homecoming Weekend in November.
We do have a few sold-out games coming up already. I believe the East Carolina game is sold out, as well as the Virginia game is sold out already.
The 142-room hotel is located at 370 East Main Street in Carborough, offering prices ranging from $169 to $199 for standard rooms. And at football weekends, prices increase, ranging from $219 to $259 for standard rooms. Rooney explains that the Hampton has a special feature which competitors do not have.
We do have a great pool deck with cabanas, and it does have a fire pit, soft seating, and just upscale furniture all around the pool deck. It makes it for a great resort-type feel when you do stay here at the hotel, something our competitors do not have in this area.
The pool deck, located on the second floor, has a balcony with a partial view of downtown Carborough. On opening day last Wednesday, the hotel ran a special 50% off deal for local residents and also welcomed local elected leaders. This is Carborough Alderman Damon Siles.
We actually had local leaders of the community stay at the hotel for the first night, as well as different key people that were a part of this hotel being opened. Everyone had a great experience.
Rooney says that the Hampton Inn and Suites will announce any future deals for locals on its Facebook page. WCHL News Time, 7:16. Time now for traffic and weather together. And this traffic report is brought to you by Carolina Football. You can win tickets for the home opener coming up this Saturday against Middle Tennessee State by going to WCHL's Facebook page and registering to win. And don't forget to experience the new Tar Heel Town in the Bell Tower parking lot, the Bell Tower Park, right next to the stadium. It'll take place before the game. WCHL's traffic with Rand Northam now.
Thank you very much, Ron. Traffic still moving smoothly to start this morning off. I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway. Not reporting any delays, no accidents, at least nothing major out there right now. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363. You can also tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely. And we remind you, second week of school, the school buses are out again. So give yourself a little bit of extra time to travel, or you might want to find a different route if you know it's a bus route. So, as always, give us a call and give us a tweet.
Certainly a lot more
those.
Congestion today than yesterday. Yesterday was really an easy day because not much traffic on the roads yesterday morning at all.
That's for sure.
Yesterday afternoon, in some cases, a lot different.
Yeah, very true.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, presented by Southern Rail. Serving lunch and dinner daily and brunch on the weekends with free parking on either side of the railroad tracks. Southern Rail in the heart of downtown Carborough. 72 degrees in Chapel Hill, foggy. Fog's going to clear away fairly quickly. Today, actually, about like yesterday. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. High today, about 86. Tonight, mostly clear. Just a 20% chance of rain with lows in the middle 60s. Tomorrow, a better day. Mostly sunshine with a high in the middle 80s. And tomorrow night, clear skies expected with a low in the middle 60s. So, actually, the weather kind of muggy today and a little better tomorrow.
Carolina plays here. UNC football's flagship station. This is 97.9 FM. WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
WCHL News Time 7:18. After a tumultuous first couple of years, the new owners of Greenbridge Condominiums in Chapel Hill say the complex is turning a corner now with new homeowners and new businesses moving in.
We're at 64% sold. We've sold 60 homes out of the 97, and we've got 37 to go, and we hope to be done in about a year.
That's Vic Miller, Vice President of Sales at Greenbridge. He says of those 60 units sold, 24 were sold in the past year alone. Just a few years ago, the building was two-thirds vacant and had to go into bankruptcy. New businesses are coming in as well. The newest addition, a 1,300-square-foot eco-friendly hair salon, To the Woods, co-owned by Jessica Reiner, Jamie Phillips, and Julie Smith. Greenbridge has always touted itself as a center for green technology. The original owners designed the building to be energy efficient, with features like planted rooftops, fresh air exchangers, and low-E glass. Miller says these features lower the energy cost for an average unit by 30%, and public relations representative Andrea Romano says the building may soon get a major award for that commitment to sustainability.
They are finalists for the 2013 Green Gala Sustainable Business Awards this year, so, you know, that's something that they're still really invested in as well.
Vic Miller says Greenbridge may still file for official LEED certification as well. Miller says he's optimistic about the future of Greenbridge. He also says he's optimistic about the future of Chapel Hill and Carborough.
I think over the next couple of years, I'd say the next 5 years, I think that Chapel Hill, Rosemary Street, Carborough area is going to be the epicenter of new growth in your area. I just see a lot of changes that we've been there the last 2 years.
If you'd like more information, you can view this story on WCHL's website, chapelborough.com. A New York City federal jury has rejected the argument that use of the N-word among blacks can be a culturally acceptable term of love and endearment, deciding its use in the workplace as hostile and discriminatory. Jury members last week awarded $250,000 in compensatory damages to a black employment agency worker who was the target of an N-word-laced rant by her black boss. They returned today to decide on punitive damages. The case against Rob Carmona and the employment agency Strive, East Harlem, gave legal airing to the complex debate about blacks' use of the word. Former employee Brandy Johnson told jurors that Carmona's 2012 tirade made her feel offended, hurt, and degraded. Carmona told jurors that among blacks, the word is often used as a term of affection. And news around town this morning. The Orange County Cooperative Extension returns with its annual holiday program, The Spirit of Elegant Holidays 2013, Home and Hearth throughout the year. The OC Cooperative Extension mission is to deliver education and technology that enrich lives, land, and economy in North Carolina communities. This year's program will be held October 24th at 12 noon and 7 p.m. at the Hillsborough United Methodist Church on West Tryon Street. The emphasis will be on food, crafts, and decorating ideas for all seasons of the year. There will be door prizes, samples of convenient and healthier foods, craft and gift ideas, and more. Tickets for the event, $5 if you pre-register, which lasts until October 10th. After that date, all tickets are $8. If you'd like more information on the Orange County Cooperative Extension, you can view this news around town story on our website, chapelborough.com. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll tell you about today's special veto override session called by the governor in Raleigh. That is on the way, WCHL. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by UNC Family Medicine. Good morning, I'm Rod Stutz. It took until the 68th minute to play for the number 4 UNC men's soccer team to get on board. But once the Tar Heels did, there was no turning back yesterday. Carolina defeated Coastal Carolina 4-0 yesterday morning to close out the Carolina Nike Classic 2-0. Coastal split the tournament 1-1 after a 1-0 win against number 17 Wake Forest last Friday. Junior forward Tyler Engel tallied the second game winner in as many contests with the assist from freshman midfielder Colton Storm and freshman forward Marco Sinol Monday to close out the Carolina Nike Classic. Three Tar Heels would follow suit before the final horn, while the Carolina defense didn't allow the Chanticleers to test junior goalkeeper Brendan Moore. Junior midfielder Jordan McCrary, sophomore midfielder Raby George, and junior midfielder Glenn Long all found the back of the net for their first goals of the season. Tar Heels outshot the Santa Clara's 10-4, including a 5-0 mark on goal. With the win, Carolina improved to 2-0 on the season. Up next, UNC travels to South Bend, Indiana on Sunday for its first conference meeting ever with Notre Dame. Kickoff time, 12 noon on Sunday, and that game will be seen on ESPNU. Now let's talk about football and WCHL. With a few days to step back and regroup from the South Carolina loss on Thursday night, UNC's senior quarterback Bren Renner and senior defensive end Kareem Martin both said on Monday they will learn from their mistakes and look to grab a win in Chapel Hill this Saturday. After spending some time in the film room, Martin said the locker room is still high with energy and motivation despite the opening setback.
Then they had another one, passing touchdown that we felt like was our, that we gave them, you know, as opposed to them getting it. So I think that after watching the film, that morale is still pretty high because we see that we're a pretty good team once we get everything together.
Martin said although South Carolina had a big size advantage on the line of scrimmage, the biggest obstacle to the Carolina defense was the Gamecock rushing attack.
I think, their line was obviously bigger than us, but I don't think that was the biggest role. I think it was more so their running backs. They had great running backs. Running backs were about 230, you know, themselves, so that was probably the biggest thing I don't think we were prepared for as far as, like, you know, we always talked about how big their line was, but we never really talked about how big their running backs were, and I think that was the biggest thing. They ran their feet really well then.
Middle Tennessee State, Tar Heels' next opponent on Saturday, will not be taken lightly, according to Martin. He said Carolina will need to be clicking on all cylinders in Keenan Stadium on Saturday to protect its home turf.
You know, we needed it going forward. You know, we got Middle Tennessee this weekend. You can't take them lightly. They beat Georgia Tech last year, and, you know, they definitely have the talent to come in here and upset us, so we definitely have to come in there with our A-game.
Renner said he wasn't satisfied with his performance on Thursday night and be trying to be more alert and quick with his footwork in the pocket.
You know, whenever you lose, you feel like you can do a lot more. But I think, you know, not turning the ball over and, you know, just here and there, I think I could have done a tremendous job in the pocket. I didn't do a very good job of moving my feet and just subtly moving, and I think I could do a better job this week. And, you know, that falls on me, and I think the offensive line did a great job blocking, but I can definitely improve.
Renner said at the end of the day, the Tar Heels have to do a better job of finishing out drives with touchdowns in the red zone if they want to be successful this season, but the offensive unit still remains very confident.
It's during the game of just, you know, how tired they were, and he even made a comment to me, and he just looked gassed, and I think that's what we try to accomplish on offense. And, you know, we ran 86 to 89 plays, but just didn't put the ball in the end zone. But there's a ton of positives we can take, and we're not going to lose any confidence.
You can read this story and follow all the latest in Tar Heel football on our website at chapelboro.com. Click on Huddle Up with the Heels, and you can get all kinds of stories, interesting games, and even predict the winners in our Chapelboro football giveaway. It's a lot of fun, so please participate in that. So much for the debate about who ought to start at quarterback for North Carolina State. Wolfpack has no choice now but to enter this week's game against Richmond with Pete Thomas now that Brandon Mitchell is out with a broken foot. Coach Dave Doran said Monday that Mitchell will be out for a substantial amount of time. The coach says Mitchell had surgery on Sunday, and now it's just a matter of healing time. Mitchell actually beat out Thomas during preseason camp, but lasted only three series, although he was quite impressive during those three series. He led North Carolina State to touchdowns in the two opening drives and then broke a bone in his left foot during the first quarter, so a tough way for him to start the season. Panthers coach Ron Rivera still hasn't decided who will start at cornerback on Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks in the season opener for the Carolina Panthers. The only thing that is guaranteed is it will be a young, inexperienced player. Carolina's comeback or cornerback position was thrown into a state of flux on Saturday when the team released veteran Drayton Florence, who'd been working with the starters for most of the preseason. Rivera says the decision was made because he wanted to give young cornerbacks Josh Thomas and Josh Norman a chance to develop into long-term starters. Rivera called them both good, solid young football players who are getting better and better, and they need to be out on the football field. Again, Rivera's team will take on the Seattle Seahawks this weekend for their official NFL season opener. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Ryan Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
I'll take Carolina's 0-1 start any day of the week. This is Art Chansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. I was amused, as I often am, reading the News and Observer's attempt at balanced coverage in the Sunday paper. I wish they had felt compelled to compare what was going on at UNC the last 3 years to similar programs and problems at Duke and NC State. Another commentary for another day. I digress. While reviewing Carolina's mistake-filled loss to sixth-ranked South Carolina Thursday night, the NNO also sang the praises of State's 40-14 win over Louisiana Tech. Who? And Duke's 45-0 romp over North Carolina Central. Like the bad was the bad and the good was the good. Are you kidding me? I'll take what the Tar Heels learned in Columbia over what the Pac and Devils still have to learn. State defeated a program that was in turmoil before former East Carolina and South Florida coach Skip Holtz landed at Terry Bradshaw's alma mater, which was a hell of a lot better when Bradshaw played than the current barkless Bulldogs. So what did State learn? That one-year quarterback Brandon Mitchell will now have a half season left in his college career once recovered from the foot he fractured in the first half after leading a couple of impressive TD drives. For new coach Dave Doran to begin his Wolfpack tenure with a fifth-year QB tells you just how bad anyone else with years of eligibility left are. And now Doran's got to get those guys ready for Clemson on September 19th after a game against hapless Richmond that will be another waste. Good luck with that one, coach. And Duke, I remember years ago when the Blue Devils insisted on getting the stuffing beaten out of them by so-called national powers, and Duke wouldn't even acknowledge it was in Durham, North Carolina, let alone agree to play NC Central in the Bull City Classic. Classic Bull is more like it. And the 45-0 score over a team that fired its head coach a couple of weeks ago and will now have to fight his lawsuit to get reinstated. I'm sure the Eagles were prepared to play that game, even if Newt Rotney came back to coach them. So what did Duke learn? Well, we'll find out at Memphis Saturday when anything but another slaughter will tell us something. So the Heels found out that they still have defensive holes and need to figure out how to finish drives. Those are legit takeaways against perhaps the best opponent they will play all season. At 0-1, at least they know who they are. This is our chance to see ya.
It's summer and we're all spending more time playing sports and enjoying outdoor activities. With that means more injuries, bumps, and bruises. That's why UNC Family Medicine is your one-stop shop for treating injuries. You'll be cared for by the same staff that works with UNC teams and Chapel Hill Carborough school sports. From on-site x-rays to physical therapy, UNC Family Medicine is here. And you can make appointments easily on the web at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from the all-new Carolina 1663. It's half off. Introductory offers for breakfast, lunch, or dinner available now. Our Local Deal welcomes Carolina 1663, the latest in destination dining. Executive Chef McLean has created a menu that will beckon you to relax and enjoy his fresh, creative dishes. In addition to the dining room, come enjoy their wonderful full bar lounge and patio seating. It's half off from Carolina 1663. It's available for limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
730 WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather presented by Southern Season. Stop by for delicious food and great wine during their September's Food and Wine Festival with gourmet food samples, wine tastings, live music, and other in-store events at the University Mall in Chapel Hill or online at southernseason.com. It's 72 degrees in Chapel Hill, a little bit muggy today. Again, partly sunny, a little patchy fog this morning. That'll clear away fairly quickly. 30% chance of showers, maybe even a thunderstorm in the afternoon. High today about 86 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear, slight chance of rain with a low 65, and then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the middle 80s.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM, WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
Today to host lawmakers trying to twist arms on a response to Syrian aggression.
The president is making a personal pitch to congressional leaders to pass the resolution authorizing a military strike on Syria. Today, he's hosting the ranking members of six congressional committees at the White House, as well as Speaker of the House John Boehner and Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi.
Correspondent Jerrica Duncan. Arizona Senator John McCain paid a visit to the White House and met for about an hour with the president. He told CBS this morning,
"It's almost as bad as not passing a resolution as passing a resolution that doesn't allow us to take action that reverses the situation on the battlefield so that Bashar Assad will sooner or later leave."
If the U.S. strike Syria, retired four-star General Jack Keane tells the BBC that it won't be a limited attack.
"He's going to deter and degrade, and the important word is degrade, significant military capability of Assad's regime.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732, 73 degrees in Chapel Hill. This is WCHL, I'm Ron Stutz. The protest movement against a Republican-led North Carolina legislature continued on Labor Day by focusing on what its critics call anti-worker legislation. Representatives of the state AFL-CIO and Farm Labor Organizing Committee joined the Reverend William Barber with the NAACP at a Monday news conference on Hillsborough Street in Raleigh. They say state lawmakers hurt workers in North Carolina by passing bills this year that will prevent hundreds of thousands of people from getting either emergency federal unemployment benefits or the state's earned income tax credit. Protests will continue today when civil rights and union leaders plan to give report cards to all 170 lawmakers as they return for a veto override session. Now let's talk about that session. It was called by Governor Pat McCrory. The bills in question are House Bill 392, which would require drug testing for welfare applicants, and House Bill 786, which would approve a study to find out if the seasonal work limit should be extended past 90 days. Both the Senate and House need 60% to vote for the override. That's 72 of the 120 House votes and 30 of the 50 Senate votes. When the bills passed, they already had veto-proof majority. The special session is scheduled to begin at noon today, but estimates put the votes at about 4 o'clock. House Republicans have reportedly called a caucus for 3 p.m., depending on what the House members do. Senate members may wait until tomorrow morning to take a vote. Over the weekend, President Barack Obama sought congressional approval before taking military action in response to Syria's apparent use of chemical weapons, putting the likelihood of U.S. military intervention in the balance. As a result, UNC has commissioned a roundtable discussion on the increasing tensions surrounding the conflict. WCHL's Rachel Nass spoke with panel member UNC Professor Mark Weisberg, a specialist in international law, to get his perspective on this global issue that everyone is talking about right now.
Weisberg teaches civil procedure, international law, and a course on international human rights for the UNC School of Law. The roundtable discussion being held in the FedEx Global Education Center Tuesday from 5 to 6:30 features panel members from the UNC scholarly community in addition to national security fellows from the UNC Triangle Institute for Security Studies.
I believe it's the obligation of every citizen to take an interest in important public questions, and surely using force in international relations is an important public question.
Weisberg said his talk will focus on the international legal aspects of a U.S. intervention in Syria. Specifically, he will consider the body of law that regulates how independent countries deal with one another and how a U.S. intervention would challenge the Charter of the United Nations.
The UN Charter unequivocally forbids it. Under the Charter, the only circumstance in which one country can use force against a second country without the permission of the Security Council of the UN, which of course is not available here, would be in self-defense.
Weisberg said that using force to prevent war crimes or to punish a country for war crimes is not contemplated by the UN Charter. He added that in situations such as this, it is often a case of conflicting rationales of the responsibility to intervene versus adhering to the Charter.
When the NATO countries bombed Serbia in the connection with the Kosovo crisis, there were a good many international lawyers who found themselves very puzzled by what to say. On the one hand, they believed it was the right thing to do. On the other hand, they couldn't very well ignore the Charter. So you had a number of international lawyers insisting that bombing Kosovo was A, illegal, and B, legitimate.
When Russia engaged in a war with Georgia in 2008, Weisberg explains that Russia gave the justification of humanitarian intervention in order to protect the population in secessionist regions of Georgia.
One can doubt the good faith of that assertion. The reason I mention it is that, of course, if one country can say we're intervening in order to act in a humanitarian way, so can another country.
Weisbord cited the UN-supported doctrine of the Responsibility to Protect, or RTP, which provides for the international community to intervene when a government is not protecting its own citizens. He said it is not an idea with which he agrees, nor is it an international legal obligation, but the Responsibility to Protect initiative continues to circulate among international lawyers and is considered by some to apply to the crisis in Syria.
The basic idea of the Responsibility to Protect is that if push comes to shove and there are dangers of serious humanitarian crises in a particular country, and that country's government is either unwilling or unable to deal with it, outside governments have the responsibility to take action.
For more information on Weisbord and UNC's roundtable discussion on the intervention in Syria, you can read this article on our website, chapelborough.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Carver Alderman will discuss the impact of new legislation from the General Assembly when the board meets tonight. Under the new rules, the town cannot prohibit gun owners from carrying concealed weapons at playgrounds, and the town's authority to regulate weapons at athletic facilities will be limited. House Bill 71 will limit the restrictions the town can place on contractors hired for public projects, meaning that the town can't require contractors to refrain from employment discrimination or pay a minimum wage. The board will hear a report from the town attorney regarding the full impact of the new state legislation. In addition, the alderman will consider partnering with Piedmont Electric to test LED streetlights at Anderson Park. Officials say the project has the potential to cut energy costs in half while also reducing the need for maintenance. The board will also consider co-sponsoring the North Carolina Bike Summit scheduled for mid-October at the newly opened Hampton Inn in downtown Carrboro. The board will meet tonight, 7:30, in Carrboro Town Hall. Another very important meeting coming up tonight in Chapel Hill. The Central West Steering Committee will meet at the Chapel Hill Public Library. Central West is a portion of land in Chapel Hill laid out during the Chapel Hill 2020 process. It surrounds Estes Drive near Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Meetings have been going on all summer. Public comment will be accepted at the beginning and the end of the meeting. Tonight's meeting scheduled for 6 to 9 p.m. WCHL News Time, 7:39. Matt Hughes, talking about my generation. Actually, he's talking about his generation. He's a very young guy who's very active politically, and he says a lot of his cohorts are as well. That's today's commentary coming up in just a couple of minutes here on WCHL. Right now, Rand Northam joins us in the studio, and Rand's here to tell you what's happening at chapelborough.com.
Well, Kristen Heemstra has a new column up in Art of Potential. It's called Parenting Tweens. That's a tough age, I know. I don't have any tweens myself, I know, but...
been there, done that.
Yeah, been through the tweens myself, and I'm sure I'll have kids in the tweens, and oh, not looking forward to it. But she talks about a good anecdote with her young teenager and actually letting a few tips, a few mistakes slip. Mm-hmm. So you'll want to check that out. Also, Susan Murray has a recap of August in Chapelborough, where she looks at some of the best shots of the summer months in a new photo gallery. You'll want to visit that. And I know you mentioned it earlier, Huddle Up with the Heels. Of course, still lots of coverage there on the UNC loss to USC. And coming up, we'll have some previews, and we're already starting to talk about it, the game coming up against Middle Tennessee State this weekend for the home opener for North Carolina. So that's a big one right there. Also, there's the college pick'em that you mentioned, and I just now went and made my picks. Looks like I'm the first Chapelborough celebrity who's made his picks, so you'll want to go and check that out. If you missed the picks last week, you can still join us this week. You can win either week to week, or you can win the whole season long. So just because you missed last week doesn't mean you can't play with us, and we ask that you do. We hope that you'll come and try to beat us. Aaron Keck is leading the way with 10 points, and I'm not okay with that.
No, me
I'm
either.
Not okay with that at all.
Well, you can participate as little or as much as you like.
That's right.
Those tween years, you know, sometimes can be tough. Went through that at our house a long time ago.
Yeah,
My youngest, Cam, is 22 today.
There we go. Happy birthday.
Celebrating your birthday. Happy birthday, Cam.
Well,
she's not even in the house anymore. I mean, she's a college graduate. She's gone.
So. That's right. And congratulations on that, too. Recently a college graduate.
Yeah.
Fairly recently.
Absolutely. I'll be seeing her tonight. So
excellent.
I'll pass along your good wishes.
Yes, please do. A lot more available on our website, chapelboro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
741 at WCHL. Again, Matt Hughes on the way next.
This is Ron Stutz. Congratulations again to AutoLogic and Carborough. The top 50 family-friendly businesses in North Carolina have been named. And once again, AutoLogic is on the list. Chosen by the Keenan Flagler Business School at UNC and Carolina Parenting, Inc. And AutoLogic is on the list for the fourth consecutive year based on helping employees balance their work and family life. AutoLogic creates an environment to support and care for its employees, which helps make AutoLogic a successful and sustainable family-friendly business in our local community. AutoLogic, trust and logic for your car.
For great food and infinite sports on game day or night, the new Tobacco Road Sports Cafe is your next stop. Locally owned and operated, Tobacco Road features fresh, local ingredients, down-home classics, and gourmet entrees, plus a wide selection of North Carolina beers on tap. Exceptional service is also on every menu, from your servers to the chef preparing your order. In Infinite Sports, we have every available sports package on TVs throughout the restaurant for your viewing comfort. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, now open in Chapel Hill's East 54 Shopping Center.
Good morning. It is 743 at WCHL. We have 73 degrees. It's going to be a muggy day.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Matt Hughes. A common complaint that almost everyone has is that young people need to be more involved in the community. However, that's not what I see. In fact, I think folks are just not going to where the young people are. In our community, I see young people active every day, whether it's political or social activism or just volunteering in the community. My generation, the millennials, could be a pessimistic bunch. When you look at what we've encountered between terrorism, endless wars, a great recession, you would think that we would be a pessimistic bunch. In fact, I think the opposite is true. We have optimism and boundless idealism rooted in realism. 50 years ago, we remembered the March on Washington and Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. Martin Luther King was just one of the many leaders of the civil rights movement who really changed America for the better. However, he's also an example of what young people are capable of. King was one of the leaders of the Montgomery bus boycott at the age of 26, just 3 years older than myself. He and many did not wait for someone to give them the opportunity to change something that was fundamentally unjust in our system. Instead, he and many others seized the opportunity to right a serious wrong in Montgomery. Young people need to realize the power of their dreams and never be afraid to step up. And with the support of the community and their elders, anything is possible. Some folks have said that my generation has the potential to be the greatest generation if given the chance. However, I do worry about the educational opportunities to expand and learn for subsequent generations. But at the same time, I'm convinced that my generation will rise to the occasion. This is Matt Hughes.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues on 97.9 FM. WCHL.
745 at WCHL. Coming up next, traffic and weather together.
This is Ron Stutz. Congratulations again to AutoLogic and Carborough. The top 50 family-friendly businesses in North Carolina have been named. And once again, AutoLogic is on the list. Chosen by the Keenan Flagler Business School at UNC and Carolina Parenting, Inc. And AutoLogic is on the list for the fourth consecutive year based on helping employees balance their work and family life. AutoLogic creates an environment to support and care for its employees, which helps make AutoLogic a successful and sustainable family-friendly business in our local community. AutoLogic, trust and logic for your car.
Hi, I'm Mike Benson, Chapel Hill class of 85 and owner of North Carolina's most unique and eclectic restaurants, the Southern Rail, right in the heart of downtown Carborough. Built out of vintage railroad cars and the original University train station, we serve lunch and dinner and brunch on the weekends. We are open 7 days a week and offer free parking on either side of the railroad tracks. Feast in a 1930s dining carriage and watch a train go by, or enjoy a fresh mint julep in the incomparable bar car. The Southern Rail, it will take you back.
The Orange County Partnership to End Homelessness is seeking volunteers and donations for Project Connect. This is a free event that provides essential services to those who otherwise could not afford them. Volunteers can greet guests and assist with the event setup and breakdown. Project Connect will be on Thursday, October 10th from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Hargraves Community Center at 216 North Roberson Street in Chapel Hill. For more information, call 919-245-2496.
Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL Traffic, presented by Legacy Investments. Attend a free seminar on group insurance programs for small business owners and find out how to save money and offer your employees better coverage. Call 919-960-1547 to find out more. Now with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northup.
Thank you very much, Ron. We've had a good start to the morning so far, and things still moving fairly smoothly. You might see some slowdowns in the intersection of the Durham Freeway and I-40. We often see some slowdowns there due to the heavy traffic, and really not the best designed intersection either.
No.
15501, NC-54, I-40, the Durham Freeway moving smoothly elsewhere. For the most part, you might see some slowdowns, especially where you see the school buses this morning. They're back on the roads today. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363. You can also tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, presented by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. All right, it's going to be a nice day for the most part, partly sunny, a little foggy this morning in some spots, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Actually, about like yesterday, maybe not quite as muggy. Our high today about 86, tonight mostly clear, slight chance of rain remaining with a low in the middle 60s, and then tomorrow we're looking at mostly sunshine with a high in the middle 80s. Tomorrow night, clear, low in the middle 60s. 748 WCHL. And coming up, we have Wayne's Word on WCHL. Haven't heard from Wayne Pond yet, but we also have the Clean Joke on the way. And today is WCHL Hometown Hero in just a few minutes as well. I'll be back in 60 seconds. I'll have a word if Wayne doesn't.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. What does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network, and we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall, and PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim compares national carriers' average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim compares data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
All right, I got a really basic word for you this morning. Wayne Pond is apparently overslept or something, but synonym. This is something you learn when you're really young. Synonym. S-Y-N-O-N-Y-M. Synonym. What it means is it's a word that means very much the same as another word. Something that means the same, basically. Remember that word of the day, synonym, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Remember, next hour, between 8 and 9, I'll give you the opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, and define it. Again, it's synonym, and you can get a $10 gift card to Cruisers if you're our winner. So listen next hour for your opportunity to call in and be a winner. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time now for the clean joke of the day. That was Barry Loeffler just outside the window, in case you were wondering. I don't know what he's doing out there. He was offering me another cup of coffee, I guess.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Maybe get us some bagels, some fresh fruit.
Probably wasn't saying, hey, Ron, you want a raise? Wasn't that?
I think you'd probably get a bagel for that. But,
exactly.
You know, that's okay.
But he was smiling. He was in a good mood for
some
reason. So
he's happy we're all back from vacation.
Who knows what's going on?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, what's up with you today on this Labor Day? Well, it's not Labor Day. Yesterday was Labor Day.
So obviously everybody's back.
Yeah.
Maybe some lucky few still hanging out there in the last. I guess they consider this kind of the final
exactly.
vacation of summer.
The final fling.
Right, exactly. So I cannot believe the summer's just flown by.
I know.
It's crazy.
And where did it go?
But with the weather, you never know what you're going to get. I mean, it got chilly a week ago, but it could be back up to the hundreds for all we know. So
yeah, true.
All right, so I have a great joke from our very own Jim Hebner.
Uh-oh.
I knew you were going to say that.
I have to laugh whether it's funny or not.
It's fine. We'll put one of those laugh tracks in the background so it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Like a,
that audience.
Like a comedy on TV.
Exactly. You know?
Jim has some good jokes.
He does. And this one's a goodie.
All right.
This one's a goodie. A little long, so pay attention.
I'm ready.
All right. An elderly man on a moped, looking about 100 years old, pulls up next to a doctor at a stoplight.
Mm-hmm.
The old man looks over at the sleek, shiny car the doctor's driving and asks, "What kind of car you got there, sonny?" The doctor replies, "A Ferrari GTO. It cost $500,000. "That's a lot of money," says the old man. "Why does it cost so much?" "Because this car can do up to 320 miles in an hour," states the doctor.
320 miles an hour?
320 miles an hour.
My goodness, yeah.
The moped driver asks, "Mind if I take a look inside?" The doctor replies, "No problem." So the old man pokes his head in the window and looks around.
Mm-hmm.
Then, sitting back on his moped, the old man says, "That's a pretty nice car, all right, but I'll stick with my moped." Just then, the light changes, so the doctor decides to show the old man just what his car can do. Floors it, and within 30 seconds, the speedometer reads 160 miles per hour.
Whoa.
Suddenly, he notices a dot in his rearview mirror, and it seems to be getting closer. He slows down to see what it could be, and suddenly, whoosh, something whips by him, going much faster than his car. The doctor asks, "What on earth could be going faster than my Ferrari?" He presses harder on the accelerator and takes Ferrari up to 250 miles per hour. Then up ahead of him, he sees it's the old man on the moped.
Wow.
Amazed if the moped could pass his Ferrari, he gives it more gas and passes the moped at 275 miles per hour.
My goodness.
And he's feeling pretty good until he looks in his mirror and sees the old man gaining on him again.
Wow.
Astounded by the speed of this old guy, he floors the gas pedal and takes it all the way up to 320 miles per hour.
Uh-huh.
Not 10 seconds later, he sees the moped bearing down on him again. The Ferrari's flat out. There's nothing he can do. Suddenly, the moped plows into the back of his Ferrari, demolishing the rear end. The doctor stops, jumps out, and unbelievably, the old man is still alive, thank goodness. He runs up to the banged up old guy and says, "I'm a doctor. Is there anything I can do for you?" The old man whispers, "Please, sonny, unhook my suspenders from your side view mirror."
There had to be some kind of answer to that.
I can see the look on your face. You seemed to be growing more and more confused or concerned about what the punchline was.
I was wondering, where's this going?
Where's this going?
Oh, man, that's good.
It had a good conclusion.
That's good. I like it.
Good.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
You have a fabulous day.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Rebecca Macy is a professor at UNC. She's the L. Richardson Pryor Distinguished Chair for Strengthening Families in the UNC School of Social Work. And she's today's WCHL Hometown Hero. Rebecca has been doing research in a very special program called MOVE.
It is a program for women who are victims of domestic violence who've been caught up either in child protective services or the judicial system and have been asked or really mandated to attend a parenting program.
Rebecca is telling everyone she can about this program because she's so convinced it helps these women become better mothers.
It's a 13-week group-based program. Women enter the same program together and they meet once a week, usually in the evenings, and there's dinner for the kids and the moms, and there's child care for the very young children. And while the moms are in their group therapy, children who are between 5 and 13 also receive services for children who've been exposed to domestic violence. The moms in their groups learn about how to parent in the context of domestic violence. They learn about child development, parenting skills, how to parent with, you know, a violent partner. And they also learn safety resources, and it's really focused on these women's self-esteem and building them up again because they've been through such a difficult time.
There are so many programs in our community that you might not hear much about, but there's only one like this one.
Sometimes women end up thinking that they deserve what's happening to them, or that if they were better mothers or better wives or better girlfriends, that this wouldn't happen to them. What the MOVE program does that's really powerful is it really emphasizes self-esteem, positivity, what we call in domestic violence services an empowering approach to help women see themselves in an accurate light, because they've gotten all this misinformation from a partner who's really tried to control their life. I've loved doing this research project. I've been doing research for 11 years here at UNC, and I've been really lucky to have great community partners all over the state. But what's been especially wonderful about this is that I got to help document it, I got to help evaluate it, but it was really their brainchild. And it's just so exciting deciding to work with social workers who are doing really innovative, novel programs. And I think this is a great example of how universities can partner with communities to really figure out what works for these families.
MOVE stands for Mothers Overcoming Violence Through Education and Empowerment. Rebecca Macy is so glad she got the opportunity to find out about it and to tell you about it. Rebecca Macy, today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
We offer free head exams. We're sort of famous for it. People think it's funny when we say, get your free head exam. And it does sound funny, but it's serious business because you can lose your diamond if you don't do it. If you don't get your free head exam, I'm Berkeley Grimble of Grimble Jewelers. Of course, the head I'm talking about is not the one attached to your neck. There are other professionals for that. I'm talking about the head of your ring. That's the part that holds your diamond. The head of your ring has prongs, and it has wells that keep the head attached to your ring. Those parts wear out, they get weak, and they break. But foolish you, you didn't get your free head exam at Grimble Jewelers, so you didn't realize that your head was falling apart. And one day, your diamond was gone just like that. You can stop that from happening to you. Just come see us at Grimble Jewelers. Say you want your free head exam. You'll laugh, we'll laugh, and we will save your diamond from falling out, and you'll be really happy.
What's up at the Cantina, Margaret?
Summertime means lots of North Carolina produce. The weekend dinner specials feature white sangria with fresh fruit like blueberries and peaches. And as different vegetables come available, we'll be serving customer favorites such as chiles rellenos and gazpacho. You'll see local squash, tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, melons, and more on our menu.
You're making my mouth water.
That's the idea, Ron.
Margaret's Cantina. Local. Seasonal. Fresh. Now serving summer supper from 4 to 8 p.m.
For the past 40 years, Great Outdoor Provision Company has been North Carolina's authentic outdoor expert for hiking, canoeing, kayaking, fly fishing, and adventure travel. If you enjoy the outdoors, you'll want to join Great Outdoor Provision Company and the Banff Film Event, Radical Reels, at the Varsity Theater. Catch the best in high adventure sports films on Thursday, September 5th. Tickets on sale and details at greatoutdoorprovision.com.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from the all-new Carolina 1663. It's half off. Introductory offers for breakfast, lunch, or dinner available now. Our Local Deal welcomes Carolina 1663, the latest in destination dining. Executive Chef McLean has created a menu that will beckon you to relax and enjoy his fresh, creative dishes. In addition to the dining room, come enjoy their wonderful full bar lounge and patio seating. It's half off from Carolina 1663. It's available for limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
74 degrees in Chapel Hill, partly sunny today. A little fog still hanging around this morning, 30% chance of rain in the afternoon, and our high today in the middle 80s.
Uniquely qualified to cover Carolina, 97.9 FM, WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station.
It's 8 o'clock.
And now, CBS News, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development, where commerce plus social equity plus...